While the world's gaze is understandably turned to Ukraine, we want to put some light now on another humanitarian crisis, the one in Afghanistan. Nearly a million people have been displaced since the Taliban regained power in August, and more than half of the population is at risk of starving. The Danish Refugee Council has been working in Afghanistan since 1999, and they are still there. Charlotte Slinta is the group secretary general, just returned to Denmark from Kabul, where she was meeting with the Taliban about the crisis there. Charlotte, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
So in your meeting with the Taliban, did they recognize just how dire the humanitarian crisis is?
I think they do recognize that, and they are concerned about it as well. We have a continuous dialogue in the country about humanitarian access for us as an organization to deliver impartial and neutral humanitarian aid around the country. And we, of course, discuss with them the importance of letting our female staff continue working in our humanitarian operation, both in our offices around in the country, but also in the field. And that's a topic that we've been discussing since the takeover of the de facto authorities, the Taliban authorities, back in August of last year, because it is so important for us that we can have our female staff working, both out of respect for the rights of our female staff to have a job and enjoy sort of basic fundamental human rights, but also because only if we can have our female staff working, we can actually access the female beneficiaries of our support.
Well, may I say that it was remarkable even that they met with you because, you know, frankly, of course, you are a woman. Tell me how you navigated that and how they treated you.
They treated me respectful and we had very good discussions. What I'm very pleased with is that we have actually managed to uphold that principled approach with the de facto authorities in the country and actually managed to have our female staff working in our humanitarian operation. But it is, however, a continuous endeavor of negotiation and discussions with Taliban at the provincial levels to keep that possibility open. We have to repeat these conversations over and over again. Mm. And there is also a tendency that we see that authorities want to shrink in the space of maneuver of women on a continuous basis.
Well, and we saw an example of that just last month when the Taliban went back on a promise to let high school girls returned to their classrooms. We saw girls and their families crying as they were turned away from those schools. Did you press the Taliban on that?
We discussed that issue as well and expressed our concern. We believe it's extremely problematic if the situation is going to be rolled back to the time the Taliban was in power last time. For the women themselves, but also for the development of Afghanistan at large, there is a need to use that full potential of the entire population, men and women alike, to develop Afghanistan. And we know that education is a very, very important means to actually being able to contribute to society.
Yeah, and what did you hear from them? Did they promise to let these girls back into school?
No, they did not. And, you know, we had a lot of conversations with women from around Afghanistan, both humanitarian workers, but also women from civil society organizations. And the despair and the fear was showing so much in their faces when they talked about that the future for themselves and their daughters is really difficult to foresee what that will bring. So they were so worried about this shrinking space for women in Afghanistan that they see day by day. And they also expressed that the ability that they could go to work in the humanitarian sector, and there are also some women working in the health sector around the country, that was actually made them have some hope, because what they were afraid of was that the regime in place would like to sort of move them away from the public sphere altogether.
I'd like to ask you about another important issue facing Afghanistan. That is the food crisis. More than half of all children under the age of 5 are facing acute malnutrition. What did you see?
Well, we saw a lot of very poor people, and we saw people and heard stories about the very drastic descent of people into poverty. And we saw that the already poor are getting poorer, and that humanitarian needs are rising, so that the numbers of people in need for humanitarian assistance is above half of the population at this very moment in time. We also talked about the extreme coping mechanisms that are now in place for the poor families. And those are, for instance, that the families tend to marry off their daughters at an even more early age because they need the dowry so badly for survival of the families. We also heard the anecdotal stories of the selling of children's and young people's kidneys for transplants and other kinds of very drastic coping mechanisms. And since last August, the child marriage have increased of around 12 to 15% in the country. So these are some of the direct consequences of the very, very dire humanitarian needs that we see in the country at this moment.
Do you know if people are dying because they don't have enough to eat?
I mean, there are people who will definitely be hunger-stricken, and there are parts of Afghanistan where the hunger situation is extremely dire and where there is a risk of people dying of hunger.
Yeah. With so much attention right now in the world on Ukraine, is enough being done to get food, to get assistance, to get the things that Afghanistan needs to help save people's lives?
I mean, there was just a pledging conference on Afghanistan here last week where the amount pledged for humanitarian assistance was sort of an all-historic big number of $4.4 billion. And the pledges that came in were only about $2.2 billion. That is a staggering and very high number in itself of support, but definitely not enough to the crisis that we are seeing. But what is more sort of even more concerning is that we cannot only tackle the humanitarian needs on the ground with humanitarian assistance. We need to work also on get the economy working in Afghanistan, get people's access to livelihoods going, create possibilities for income for the people. Because the economy in Afghanistan is facing such a shock after the Long-Term Development Corporation was withdrawn by August last year as part of the sanctions when the Taliban regime came into power. And that is obviously a big dilemma for the international community.
You've described so many problems this country is facing, and that's not anywhere near all of them. Another issue, I understand, is that landmines and unexploded bombs are still killing people across Afghanistan. How dire is that situation?
I mean, Afghanistan is one of the countries in the world where there are most landmines and unexploded ordnances spread out throughout the territory. And it's an issue and a problem in all provinces around the country. And the estimates of how many people have actually died due to landmines and unexploded ordnance is in the range of above 100 casualties per month during over 30 years now. So it's a major issue, and it impedes people from returning to their homes or to their villages. It prohibits the possibilities of growing crops in your land. It impedes families to send their children to school because they are afraid that they should be finding explosives on their way to school, etc. And then there's the loss of life, but also the many sort of handicapped children and people who are left without legs due to having been in the proximity of an exploding landmine. And that leads to stigmatization in society. The good thing about the situation right now is that because there's less fighting around the country at this moment in time, it's possible with mine clearance to actually reach further and deeper into the country to areas where it's not been able to clear mines for many, many years. And that's why we as an agency and a number of other agencies are extremely engaged in mine clearance, also in areas where we have not had access to clearing mines before.
You can understand why people listening to this might think that these challenges, all of them put together, just seem so insurmountable for Afghanistan. What do you think? Is there hope?
I think we cannot leave the Afghan population down. The international community has, over the last decades, invested so much in Afghanistan with the hope of having a functioning country, of maybe a functioning democracy, or at least a stable country, catering for its security interests in accordance with the international community's interests. And we must say by now that these endeavors have, to some degree, failed. Now we cannot leave the Afghans behind. We need to find solutions because the alternative would be that so many Afghans would fall into very desperate situations. We might also face a security situation in the region that is becoming more dire. So we need to stay with the Afghans and support them in this moment of their history as well.
Charlotte Slinta is Secretary General of the Danish Refugee Council, still working in Afghanistan, trying to slow the growing humanitarian crisis there. Charlotte, thank you so much.
You're welcome.